Okay, so good morning, everyone. So today I'm going to present some of our work in a functional study of an ubiquitin ligase, HIV-1, in sperm progenitor cells. So the production of sperm is supported by the spermatogonia, and the spermatogonia can be further divided into the undifferentiated spermatogonia and the differentiating spermatogonia. And these two populations have distinct markers. For the undifferentiated spermatogonia, the markers include the GFR alpha-1 and NGN3. And for the differentiating spermatogonia, the markers include the c-KIT. And it is known that the spermatogonial stem cells is mainly found in the undifferentiated spermatogonia population, but there is a study also showing that the c-KIT differentiating spermatogonia also retains some of the stemness of the spermatogonial stem cells. So in the following presentation, I included all these germ cells as the sperm progenitor cells. And the sperm progenitor cells is originated from the primordial germ cells. At embryonic day 13.5, the primordial germ cells differentiate into gonocyte, and then they enter the quiescent state until after birth, where they re-enter the mitotic cycles and give rise to two different lineages directly, which is one is the NGN3-positive undifferentiated spermatogonia, and the other is the c-KIT-positive differentiating spermatogonia. And this differentiating spermatogonia will enter the meiotic cycles and support the first wave of spermatogenesis, whereas the NGN3-positive undifferentiated spermatogonia will support the steady-state spermatogenesis in the adult. However, the mechanism underlying the establishment and maintenance of these sperm progenitor cells remain largely unknown. Now, since the gene I'm working on is an ubiquitin ligase, so I'll also give a brief introduction on the ubiquitin proteasome systems. So the ubiquitination of substrate requires three different enzymes, the E1 activating enzyme, which activates the ubiquitin, and then the activated ubiquitin will be transferred to an E2 conjugating enzyme. And in the presence of an E3 ligase, the ubiquitin will be transferred to the substrate. And the substrate specificity is controlled by the E3 ligase. And it is known that the ubiquitinated substrate will be recognized and degraded by the proteasome. And also, ubiquitination also takes part in other processes as a general post-translational modification. So the gene that I'm working on is called HIV-1, and here is the diagram showing all the conserved domain on HIV-1. And the head domain and the C-terminus is actually the catalytic domain for the E3 ligase activity. And in a previous study, it has been shown that HIV-1 is mainly expressed in the spermatogonia as well as the spermatocyte. And a more recent study led by Dr. Martin Kelty here shows that HIV-1 undergo a cytoplasmic to nuclear shuttle during the gonocyte to SPC sperm progenitor cells transition, suggesting that HIV-1 might have a role during this early germ cells development. So the aim of our study is to find out the role of HIV-1 in these germ cells. So to study this, we established a germ cell-specific knockout model of HIV-1. So we obtained a phlox mice from our collaborators. The phlox allele contain two LOX P sites that flank exon 80 to 82 of the HIV-1. And this is actually the catalytic core of the HAC domain. And we cross it with two different Cre lines. The first one is the DDX4 Cre, which is expressed in the primordial germ cell state. And the second one is the STRA8 Cre, which is expressed in the differentiating spermatogonia. So after recombination, the Cre-positive knockout mice will have a mutant protein that lacks the E3 ligase activity, whereas the Cre-negative, we use it as a wild type. So we first examine the fertility of these two lines of knockout mice. So in the DDX4 HIV-1 knockout, the mice are completely infertile from the mating experiment. And also we can see that the testes are significantly smaller in the knockout compared to the wild type. And then we go on to examine the morphology in the adult testes, and what we found is that in the knockout testes, there's completely loss of germ cells, whereas in the wild type, you can still see multiple stages of germ cells present. And also, we have examined the expression of a Sertoli cell marker, WT1, and found there's a similar number of Sertoli cells in both the wild type and knockout, now suggesting that the loss of germ cells was not due to any abnormalities in the Sertoli cells. And then we have also confirmed the loss of undifferentiated spermatogonia by two markers using qPCR, the GFR alpha-1 and NGN3. And we can see that in the knockout testes, there's almost no expression of these two markers indicating the loss of the undifferentiated Bombergonia population. So in the SWAR8 HIV1 knockout, the mice are subfertile, and also the testes are significantly smaller in the testes, and there's a markedly decrease in the sperm production in the knockout compared to the wild type. And also the morphology study in the adult shows that there's a loss of primary spermatocyte in the knockout, whereas you can still see a multiple stage of germ cells in the wild type. And again, we used the different markers to examine the sperm progenitor cells population. And we can see that there's not much difference in the undifferentiated spermatogonia population, so there's almost a similar expression. However, there's a significant decrease in the differentiating spermatogonia expression, suggesting that there might be a loss of differentiating spermatogonia in this SWAR8 HIV1 knockout. Now, since both HIV1 knockout model shows a loss of germ cells, so we then go back to the DDX for HIV1 knockout and ask, when does the loss of germ cells occur? So we sacrifice the mice in different hallmark stage of the early germ cell development, from day 3, where the gonocyte start to transit to the sperm progenitor cells, on day 6, where most of the sperm progenitor cells has been established, and day 8, the differentiating spermatogonia enter meiosis, and day 15, where the primary spermatocyte first appears. And we stain for a germ cell marker DDX4 and count the number of germ cells. And we quantify the number of germ cells, and here's the result. It shows that in day 3 testes, both the wild type and knockout has similar number of germ cells, whereas on day 6, you can see a decrease in number of germ cells. And the phenotype is more severe from day 8 onwards. And we have also confirmed the loss of germ cell by another germ cell marker, Tri-98, and similar result can be obtained. So as I have mentioned, the gonocyte directly differentiated into the undifferentiated and the differentiating spermatogonia, so they are two lineage. So the next question we ask is whether the loss of germ cells can affect both lineage. So to study this, we again use the lineage markers, and here shows it the undifferentiated spermatogonia markers by qPCR. And what we found is that on day 3, there's not much difference in this marker expression. However, on day 6, there's a marked decrease in all 3 of the undifferentiated spermatogonia markers. And similarly, for the differentiating spermatogonia markers, there's not much difference on day 3, and there's a significant loss in day 6. Now, these data suggested that loss of HIV1 can affect both the undifferentiated and the differentiating spermatogonia lineage. So there are two possibilities for the decreased number of these sperm progenitor cells in the knockout testes. The first one is the decreased formation of these sperm progenitor cells from gonocyte. And the second one is the defects in the maintenance of these sperm progenitor cells. So to address the first possibility, we study the gonocyte to SPC transition by staining the FOXO1. So in previous study, it has been shown that FOXO1 also undergo a cytoplasmic to nuclear shadow during the gonocyte to SPC transition. So the gonocyte will have a cytoplasmic FOXO1, whereas the SPC will have the nuclear FOXO1. So we stain for FOXO1 in both the wild type and knockout and count the different pattern of FOXO1 expression. And what we found is that in the knockout, there's an increased percentage of cytoplasmic FOXO1, whereas there's a decrease in the nuclear FOXO1. This data suggested that there's an defect in the gonocyte to SPC transition. And also, since the gonocyte will re-enter the mitotic cycles when they differentiate into these two different lineage, so we then examine the mitotic re-entry by using the BRDU incorporation experiment. So the image here, we label the germ cells by DDX4 stain in red, and the BRDU stain in green. And we count the BRDU positive germ cells, which is the germ cells that actually goes into the mitotic cycles. So what we found is that in the HIV1 knockout testers, there is a significantly less number of BRDU positive germ cells, indicating that in the knockout testers, there's less germ cells that can re-enter the mitotic cycle. Now, to address the second possibility that loss of HIV1 will affect the maintenance of the sperm progenitor cells, we attempted to knock out HIV1 in a spermatogonial stem cell line, the C84 cells. And then we use RNA-guided genome editing tools called CRISPR. And actually, we use a nickase Cas9 together with GFP expression. And then we designed two different guide RNA targeting either exon 14 or exon 15 of the Hib1 loci. And we transfect both guide RNA into the CNE4 cells, and then we sort out the transfected cells by GFP FACSORs. So from the Western blot result here, we can see that at least some population of the transfected cells have the knockout of Hib1. The residual Hib1 expression here might be coming from the cells that actually don't have an effective CRISPR knockout. So from the phase contrast image here, we can see that in the knockout group, we can see some increase in the number of round-up cells, indicating that some of the cells are dying. So when we actually count the number of cells, we can see that there's a decrease in the number of cell count in both the in two different Hib1 knockout design. Now, these experiments suggested that knockout of Hib1 can also affect the maintenance of the sperm progenitor cells. So the next question we ask is, how does Hib1 do so? How does Hib1 regulate the gonocyte to SPC transition as well as the maintenance of the SPC? So then we go back to the literature and look for some similar phenotype. And what we found is that the FOXO1, 3, and 4 triple knockout has a really similar phenotype as the Hib1 knockout. And the loss of germ cells appear really early in postnatal day 7. And also the FOXO1 single knockout also have a reduced number of germ cells at the, day 7. However, some of the tubules will then regenerate in later stage of spermatogenesis. So it's suggesting that FOXO family may be one of the downstream target of the Hib1. So then we examine the expression of FOXO1, which is one of the most important family members for spermatogenesis. And what we found is that there's a decreased expression of FOXO1 in the Hib1 knockout testes. And then we also confirmed the decreased expression of FOXO1 in both the CRISPR-mediated Hib1 knockout model in the CNE4 cells and also the siRNA-mediated Hib1 knockdown model in also the CNE4 cells. Now, this suggested that the Hib1 can regulate the expression of FOXO1. So in summary, the knockout of Hib1 in germ cells can result in infertility, and knockout of Hib1 can arrest gonocyte and perturb their transition to the sperm progenitor cells, and also loss of Hib1 can inhibit the maintenance of these sperm progenitor cells. And Hib1 can regulate the expression of FOXO1 that may in part contribute to the phenotype of the Hib1 knockout testes. Okay, so finally, I would like to thank different members in Simon's lab, especially Wuhini, who contribute a lot in characterizing the knockout mice, and also our collaborators, Dr. Alvaroni and Nola Rosa, who gave us the flox mice, and also Dr. Kelty and Dr. Nagano, who help a lot in establishing the in vitro model for gonocyte and spermatogonial stem cells, and also our collaborators in China who start up this project. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alice, for a really nice talk. So if there's any questions, we have time for maybe one or two quick ones.
Hi, that was a really nice talk. So I have a question about the different type of mutations that you made. Mm-hmm. So one of them was the deletion of the catalytic domain. One was exon 14 and 15, yep. And then one was siRNA. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that kind of struck me was that when you looked at expression of FOXO1, I don't know if it's because the stars were missing, but you only saw a significant difference with the siRNA.
Yep.
But your in vivo phenotype was a decrease in cell. Do you think it's to say it's a complete loss of function that you're looking at in your in vivo experiment where you remove the catalytic domain? Do you know if you have some other activity that is taking place or if you've made a dominant negative protein that's affecting other things?
For now, we are not... We're not quite sure yet, but in my experience, once the no matter is the loss of E3 ligase activity or is the total loss of the protein by siRNA or is a really truncated form, we can always see the decrease in FOXO1 expression.
It's always significant? So those stars were just missing, I guess.
Because in the CRISPR experiment that targeting exon 14 and 15, I just have two independent experiments, so the N number is not significant yet. But for the knockout testers, we have n equals to 3, which is still a really small n number. So maybe we can just increase the n number to get a significant difference.
Okay.
Yeah, but the decrease in FOXO1 level is not that really dramatic. So we think that it might contribute at just in part of the observed phenotype, but not can.
So you think there are other targets that?
Yeah, there might be other targets that that contribute to the phenotype.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem.
I wanted to ask you about the nuclear translocation, which I understand is not the principal subject, but I found that very interesting that both the Huey 1 and the FOXO 1, I think, between day 3 and day 6. So do you know what underlies that? Is it say, linked to, you talked about reentry into the cell cycle, I guess?
We don't have an idea how both the Huey 1 and FOXO 1 just are regulated for the localization.
Do you know whether they have nuclear localization sequences, signal sequences, the NLS?
We didn't try to analyze the NLS in the Huey 1 yet, yeah. So we are not sure how does it being regulated to struggle to the nucleus, is it? Yeah.
Hey, so I'm working with those DDX Valkyrie, and they have a problem is like when the male is too old, the male giving the Cree, or if it's given by the female, you're going to have all body recombination.
Yeah.
So did you check that UV1 is, in your postnatal testis, is only expressed in germ cells?
Yeah. So actually, we maintain the DDX4 Cre in the male background, so we never cross it to the female. So
okay.
So that's minimized some of the non-specific recombination. Because I also tried to breed the female knockout mice, but we found that it's all over the place.
Okay.
So in terms of showing that the knockout is really germ cell specific, at the moment we didn't isolate the germ cell yet. We are trying to do so by sorting out the CD9 positive cells and do the genotyping. But what I can show here is that we have genotype in the whole tester slicate. And so we design primers flanking the log sites. And so the wild type will have a P-cell product of around 600 base pairs, and the knockout will have a smaller product size. And we can see there's the recombined allele can only be detected in the knockout, and the and there we can still see the wild type allele, which is likely to be contributed from the somatic cells instead of the germ cells.
Okay.
But we definitely need to confirm it.
But understanding you had that PND3, the isolated gonocytes, the little cells that were next to the germ cells, were they Sertoli cells or lady? Because they were stained also. So.
What are you referring to? I mean,
like at the beginning, you showed that PND3 and 8, the staining of gonocytes and tiny cells. Were they somatic cells? Because I think they were stained also.
Yeah, because HIV-1 is also expressed in the somatic cells.
So do you think there's a possibility you have all testis knockout and not only germ cell specific? Because you have some kind of dysgenesis of the cell.
Right now, we can exclude the possibility, but we know that the HIV-1 whole body knockout is embryonic lethal.
Yeah.
So we are quite.
Okay, so there's a chance it would would die anyway. So you have a decreased ratio of your knockout you're generating? Or?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And just a tip for you, the striate Cree, they need to be on a black 6 old background to be to have the full recombination. So maybe that's why your phenotype is more strong with the striate Cree. So everything on black 6. Just take like a couple of years. So.
Okay. Okay, thanks a lot.
Sorry.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Alex.